We'll read a little bit about the appearance of Lord Chaitanya from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda.
We read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 13, The Advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The 13th chapter of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. A learned Brahmin named Upendra Misra, who resided in the district of Srihatta, was the father of Jagannath Misra, who came to Navadvip to study under the direction of Nilambar Chakravarti, and then settled there after marrying Nilambar Chakravarti's daughter, Sachidevi. Sri Sachidevi gave birth to 8 children, all daughters, who died one after another immediately after birth. After her 9th pregnancy, she gave birth to a son who was named Vishwarup. Then, in 1407 Shaka era, on the full moon evening of the month of Phalgun, during the constellation of Singha Lagna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared as the son of Sri Sachidevi and Jagannath Misra. After hearing of the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, learned scholars and Brahmins, bringing many gifts, came to see the newly born baby. Nilambar Chakravarti, who was a great astrologer, immediately prepared a horoscope, and by astrological calculation, he saw that the child was a great personality. This chapter describes the symptoms of this great personality. So we can see the resemblance between the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna's parents in Mathura, Vasudeva and Devaki, they also had, they had 6 sons, all of whom were killed by Kamsa. And then the 7th pregnancy, was Balaram, but it appeared to be a miscarriage. But by the arrangement of Yogamaya, under the direction of Lord Krishna, Balaram was transferred from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini in Vrindavan. And thus it appeared that she had a miscarriage. Then the 8th child was Krishna. And Vasudeva, not wanting Kamsa to come and kill Krishna or try to kill Krishna by some miraculous arrangement, also of Yoga Maya. All of the guards in the prison house of Kamsa fell asleep, and all of the gates that were locked became unlocked. And so Vasudev carried baby Krishna across the Yamuna to Gokul, and there he found that Yashoda had given birth to a baby girl, and he exchanged, but she was so exhausted from the childbirth, she didn't know if she'd given birth to a son or a daughter. So Vasudev placed baby Krishna by her side and took her daughter back to Mathura and went back in the prison. And Kamsa thought that Devaki had given birth to a daughter. You know, he had heard a voice from the sky, Akashvani, that the eighth son of Devaki would kill him. So this was a daughter. But still, he was such a demon, and he was also surrounded by demonic advisors. So he thought, better not take any chances. So he picked up the baby girl to dash her on the floor, on the stone, as he had killed the other children. And she flew up into the sky and revealed her form as Durga and said, "You rascal, you know, the person who's destined to kill you has already taken birth in Gokul." So this is a very interesting statement, that the person who will kill you has taken birth in Gokul. Because Krishna, from the account so far, had taken birth in Mathura. So Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is quoted by Srila Prabhupada, cites evidence from within Srimad Bhagavatam and from other Puranas such as Harivamsa that Yashoda gave birth to twins, a boy and a girl. She gave birth to the original Krishna, and when Vasudev carried Vasudev Krishna, the Vasudev Krishna sort of became one with the original Krishna. And then he carried the daughter back to Mathura. So here we find in Chaitanya Leela that Sachi Devi gave birth to daughters, and all of the daughters died. Then finally she gave birth to a son, Vishwarup. But at an early age, Vishwarup left home and took sannyas. So for all practical purposes, for the family, he was dead. Prabhupada says sannyas means civil death. And the day on which he took sannyas is called Vishwarupa Mahotsav. And that was the same day on which Srila Prabhupada took sannyas, some hundreds of years later. But in any case, it was a great occasion that Sachi Devi and Jagannath Misra had given birth to a boy. And so all of the devotees from the neighborhood, from the area, like Advaitacharya and his wife Sita and Srivas Thakur and his wife Malini, they came and brought gifts and offered blessings. Later, an astrologer came and he said that he told Jagannath Misra that in your son, in his past life, was a Vaishya. But because of his good qualities and virtuous activities in taking care of cows, he had taken birth as a Brahmin in the present life. So, and then also there was the astrological calculation that he was a great personality, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Jagannath Misra also said, you know, that may be true, but still he's my son, and I have to educate him and teach him properly and correct him, because he's my son. It's my duty. I'll just read a few verses. Text 98. Nadia Udaya Giri Purnachandra Gorahari Kripakari Haila Udaya Papatama Haila Nasha Tri Jagatera Ulasa Jagabari Haridwani Haya. By his causeless mercy, the full moon, Gorahari, rose in the district of Nadia, which is compared to Udayagiri, where the sun first becomes visible. His rising in the sky dissipated the darkness of sinful life, and thus the three worlds became joyful and chanted the holy name of the Lord. Later also, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a baby, sometimes he would cry, and the elders would try to pacify him in different ways, as we do when babies cry. Try to comfort him and distract him and please him. But nothing worked. But soon they discovered that if they chanted the holy name of Krishna, he would become peaceful and stop crying. So then whenever he would cry, they would chant, and he would become happy. So his appearance inspired chanting, and all of his activities thereafter also inspired chanting. Se kale nijalaya utiya advaita raya nichakari anandita mane haridasa lana sange hunkara kirtana range kene na che keha nahi jane. At that time, Sri Advaitacharya Prabhu, in his own house at Shantipur, was dancing in a pleasing mood. Taking Haridas Thakur with him, he danced and loudly chanted Hare Krishna. But why they were dancing, no one could understand. Purport. It is understood that Advaita Prabhu at that time was in his own paternal house at Shantipur. Haridas Thakur frequently used to meet him. Coincidentally, therefore, he was also there. And upon the birth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, both of them immediately began to dance. But no one in Shantipur could understand why those two saintly persons were dancing. So by the divine will, Krishna arranged for his associates from Goloka Vrindavan to join him in his pastimes as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on earth. And some of the associates play the parts of elders. So they took birth earlier. And Advaitacharya was elder and Haridas Thakur was elder. So they had taken birth earlier. And they were friends. In fact, Advaitacharya is Mahavishnu and Thakur Haridas is Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is the servant of Lord Vishnu. So it's natural. In fact, he's a disciple of Lord Vishnu, so it's natural that they became close friends. Degi uparagahasi sigra ganga gate ase anande karila ganga snana pana uparaga chale apanara manubale brahmanera dila nana dana. Seeing the lunar eclipse and laughing, both Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur immediately went to the bank of the Ganges and bathed in the Ganges in great jubilation. Taking advantage of the occasion of the lunar eclipse, Advaita Acharya, by his own mental strength, distributed various types of charity to the Brahmins. Purport. It is the custom of Hindus to give in charity to the poor as much as possible during the time of a lunar or solar eclipse. Advaita Acharya, therefore, taking advantage of the eclipse, distributed many varieties of charity to the Brahmanas. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement in the 10th canto, 3rd chapter, verse 11, that when Krishna took his birth, immediately Vasudeva, taking advantage of this moment, distributed 10,000 cows to the Brahmanas. It is customary among Hindus that at the time a child is born, especially a male child, the parents distribute great charity in jubilation. Advaitacharya was actually interested in distributing charity because of Lord Chaitanya's birth at the time of the lunar eclipse. People could not understand, however, why Advaitacharya was giving such a great variety of things in charity. He did so not because of the lunar eclipse, but because of the Lord's taking birth at that moment. He distributed charity exactly as Vasudev did at the time of Lord Krishna's appearance. So in Vedic culture, all auspicious ceremonies are observed by householders by giving in charity. They're happy. They know that they are happy by the grace of the Lord and the devotees. And therefore, in their happiness, they want to give charity. and get more blessings. And when children become older, when they become adults and they observe their birth anniversaries, as adults they give charity. We had a friend of the temple in Juhu who was like very strict and traditional. And he didn't like the way we celebrated birthdays, you know, by giving presents. He said, birthday means the birthday person gives charity. And he didn't like the cakes either. He said, these are, you know, should distribute sandesh, rasgulla, gulab jamun. So those are real sweets. Jagat anandamaya deki mane savishmaya tare tare kahi haridasa tomara paichana ranga moramana parasana deki kichu kare ache basa. When he saw the whole world was jubilant, Haridas Thakur, his mind astonished, directly and indirectly expressed himself to Advaitacharya. Your dancing and distributing charity are very pleasing to me. I can understand that there is some special purpose in these actions. Acharya Ratna Srivas Hailamane Sukalasa Yai Snana Kaila Ganga Jale Anande Vivalamana Kari Hari Sankirtana Nanadana Kaila Manovale. Acharya Ratna, that means Chandrasekhar, and Srivas Thakur were overwhelmed with joy. And immediately they went to the bank of the Ganges to take bath in the water of the Ganges. Their minds full of happiness, they chanted the Hare Krishna mantra and gave charity by mental strength. In this way, all the devotees, wherever they were situated, in every city and every country, danced, performed Sankirtan, and gave charity by mental strength on the plea of the lunar eclipse, their minds overwhelmed with joy. All sorts of respectful Brahmin gentlemen and ladies carrying plates filled with various gifts came with their presentations. Seeing the newborn child, whose form resembled natural glaring gold, all of them with happiness offered their blessings. Savitri Gauri Saraswati Sachiramba Arundati Arayata Deva Narigana Nanadravya Patra Bari Brahmanira Veshadari Asi Sabe Kare Darashana. Dressing themselves as the wives of Brahmanas, all the celestial ladies, including the wives of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Nrisimhadev, King Indra, and Vasishtha Muni, and Ramba, a dancing girl of heaven, came there with varieties of gifts. Purport. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a newly born baby, he was visited by the neighboring ladies, most of whom were the wives of respectable brahmanas. In the dress of brahmins' wives, celestial ladies, like the wives of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, also came to see the newly born child. Ordinary people saw them as neighborhood respectable brahmin ladies, but actually they were all celestial ladies dressed in that way. So Savitri is the wife of Lord Brahma. Gauri is the wife of Lord Shiva. Saraswati here is mentioned as the wife of Lord Nrsimhadev. And Sachi is the wife of King Indra. So they all disguised themselves as Brahmin ladies, just like the ladies in the neighborhood, and came to offer respects to the newborn baby. Antarikshe Devagana Gandharva Siddha Charana Stuti Nritya Kare Vadya Gita Nartaka Vadakubhata Navadvipe Yaranata Sabe Ase Nache Pana Prita. In outer space, all the demigods, including the inhabitants of Gandharva Loka, Siddha Loka, and Charana Loka, offered their prayers and danced with musical songs and the beating of drums. Similarly, in Navadvip City, all the professional dancers, musicians, and blessers gathered together, dancing in great jubilation. Bhata means professional blessing givers. Purport. As there are professional singers, dancers, and reciters of prayers in the heavenly planets, so in India still, there are professional dancers, givers of blessings, and singers, all of whom assemble together during householder ceremonies, especially marriages and birth ceremonies. These professional men earn their livelihood by taking charity on such occasions from the homes of the Hindus. Eunuchs also take advantage of such ceremonies to receive charity, that is their means of livelihood. Such men never become servants or engage themselves in agriculture or business occupations. They simply take charity from neighborhood friends to maintain themselves peacefully. The Bhatas are a class of Brahmins who go to such ceremonies to offer blessings by composing poems with references to the Vedic scriptures. It's a very beautiful culture, highly advanced culture. And even in India, the culture remains, but not as much as before. When I was in Bombay just last December, I visited an old friend, a very nice devotee. They're related to the Birla family. And it just so happened that there was an engagement ceremony in the Birla family. From the mother's side, Bridgerton Mota had married R.D. Birla's daughter. And the daughter of Mr. Mota's son was becoming engaged to one Mr. Ruya. So I went to the ceremony, and at the ceremony, I met a bhajan singer named Purushottam Jalota. And when I first came to India, 36 years ago or so, he was very popular. He would sing bhajans in people's homes. He would give them lessons in voice and harmonium. And then one year, and of course, as happens to everyone, he got old, and while he was getting old, his son was growing up. So we invited his son to perform at our auditorium in Juhu. The son was sort of unknown. He was pretty much unknown then, Anuccha-lota. So I met the father, and I didn't even recognize him. He's like an old man. I think he's about 87. His like traditional dress and cap. But he approached me and we spoke, and then he said, Anoop is there, you know, I should, and he tried to call him, but Anoop couldn't hear him, his voice wasn't so loud, and I said, that's all right, I'll go and see him. I guess he wanted me to bless him. So Anoop Jalota remembered the first performance he gave in the ISKCON auditorium, and I didn't usually go to the performances, but somehow that evening, at a certain stage, towards the end of the performance, somehow I felt drawn into the auditorium. And I went in and found a seat at the back and sat down. And the atmosphere was surcharged. I can't explain it. It was really surcharged. And he was singing with great devotion, and it was really entering people's minds and hearts. And it was a very special performance. And then, you know, the devotees had recorded it and they made it into a cassette tape that they would distribute on Sankirtan. And it became a hit. You know, people would come and ask for an Anuccha-lota tape. And so when I met him at the wedding, at the engagement reception, he remembered that. And he said when he went into the auditorium, he had no idea if he was going to pursue a career as a singer. He said, Lord Krishna, I am yours. Whatever you want, you can do. If you want me to pursue this career, you can make me a success. If you don't, that's all right. Whatever you wish. And he said that it was because of his performance in the ISKCON auditorium and the recording made there that he became a success as a singer and pursued a career as a singer. Which I knew was the case, but I didn't want to say it. But he said it. He knew it, and he said it, and it was true. But it's that culture is becoming rare, and that mood is becoming rare. That mood of devotion, that mood of surrender, that mood of dependence on the Lord. But it is there. It is there. Well, I think we can end this reading now, although it's very next to read. And we'll sing a song that describes the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Do we have any pleasing singers that would like to sing this song, Parama Karuna? Seem to be the default. All right.
Sabhavatar Sarachi Apana karama, jaya shamaya.
Sri Sri Gaura Nityananda Daya, the mercy of Sri Gaura and Nityananda, from Dhammali by Lochan Das Thakur. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Jai Srila Prabhupada. This is a song by Lochan Das Thakur. Pahu means Lord, and Duijana means two. Lochan Das Thakur declares that the two lords, Nitai Gaurachandra, Lord Nitai and Lord Chaitanya, are very merciful, Parama Karuna. Sabha Avatar Sara Shiromani. Avatar means incarnation, and Sabha means all. They are the essence of all incarnations. The specific significance of these incarnations is that prosecuting their way of self-realization is simply joyful. Kevala Ananda Kanda. For they introduced chanting and dancing. As His Holiness Indradumya Swami said yesterday, we are not just recognizing the appearance of a great personality from 500 years ago, but we're recognizing the appearance and presence of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who guides us and inspires us and blesses us even now. We're engaged in the same movement that he inaugurated 500 years ago. And we're able to experience all of the mercy of Sri Sri Gaur Nitai mentioned in the song here by Srila Lokchan Das Thakur. There are many incarnations, like Lord Rama and even Krishna, who taught the Bhagavad Gita, which requires knowledge and understanding. But Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda introduced a process that is simply joyful. Simply chant and dance. Therefore, Lochan Das requests everyone, Bajo Bajo Bhai, Chaitanya Nitai. My dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Don't think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. It is the assurance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one will get all perfection by this process. Therefore, one must chant with firm faith and conviction. Viswasa Kori. So faith, Vishwas, or Shraddha, is essential for any activity. Srila Prabhupada said that without faith, we cannot take one step. We step outside the door, we have faith that the roof won't collapse. We step inside the door, we have faith that the roof won't collapse. We go to the barber, he takes a blade, we're sitting in the chair, we have faith that he won't cut our throat. He could, we don't know, but we have faith. Without faith, we can't do anything. And in Krishna consciousness, we can't even begin without faith. Ado Shraddha. The beginning is faith. And although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give freely love of God through the chanting of the holy name, we have to accept the transcendental gift. And that requires faith. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has elaborated the idea of Namhata, which was originally begun by Nityananda Prabhu in Surabhi Kudan in Godrum Dweep, into a whole network for distributing the holy name. And he uses an analogy of the marketplace, that just as in a market there are people selling goods, and what are we selling? We're selling the holy name. And what is the price? If you want to buy something in the market, you have to pay the price. The price is Shraddha. Anyone who has Shraddha can get the holy name. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur further says that in an ordinary marketplace, a customer may come with counterfeit money, and the vendor might not recognize it, and he might get the goods. But in the marketplace of the holy name, you can't cheat. If you come with counterfeit faith, you'll get a counterfeit name. Only if you come with genuine faith will you get the holy name. So Shraddha, Ado Shraddha, Shraddha is the first requirement. And therefore, Lochan Das Thakur encourages us, Sudrida Biswasa Kori. Faith means the firm conviction that just by chanting the holy name, just by engaging in devotional service, one will get everything. One will get the results of all other secondary processes. And that is stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Shraddha Shabde Vishwasa, the same word. Kahe Sudridra Nischaya Krishne Bhakti Kaila Sarva Karma Kritahaya. Krishna Bhakti, one has the firm faith and conviction that by Krishna Bhakti, Sarva Karma Kritahaya, one will get the results of all other activities. So that is faith. Srila Prabhupada had that faith. He came to the United States, he had no money. I think he was allowed a certain number of rupees, which when converted into dollars became $7, which is, you know, not enough to last for one day in New York City. But he had faith in the holy name. He came and sat in Tompkins Square Park and chanted the holy name. Of course, he had his books, Srimad Bhagavatam. And he would go to bookstores with Srimad Bhagavatam and try to sell them. But he wouldn't go only with books. He would also go with prasad. When Sasrupa Maharaj was conducting the research for Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, he interviewed some of the booksellers who had bought Srimad Bhagavatam, those first three volumes of the first canto, from Srila Prabhupada. Oh yes, I remember him. He was a very nice Indian man. He used to come here. And he would give them samosas. He would cook samosas and carry samosas with him and give them samosas, and then he would present Srimad Bhagavatam, and they bought a few copies, and people bought them in the stores. So he had faith in the holy name and faith in the order of his Guru Maharaj to preach it. Distribute books if you ever get money, print books. And in that way he began. And then eventually it took off. We mentioned Srila Prabhupada Sannyas, which took place on the occasion of Vishwarup Mahotsav at the Keshav Jigodia Math in Mathura. So, at the time of the ceremony, there was a disciple. Prabhupada's sannyas guru was Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj, as a disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Later, Srila Prabhupada, when he left, when Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj left his body, Srila Prabhupada said he went back to Godhead. And then there was another disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur there named Niskinchana Krishna Das Babaji, and he was always relishing the holy name. So during the ceremony, when the priest was performing the fire yajna, Niskinchana Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj was chanting Harinam. And the priest at the ceremony sort of motioned to him, like, keep quiet, we're saying the mantras. And Prabhupada, even though he was just sitting in the ceremony, he motioned like, keep chanting, keep chanting. He had so much faith in the holy name. And then later, I believe it was the same godbrother, Niskinchana Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj. He met another disciple of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur named Ban Maharaj. And Ban Maharaj had gone to the West during Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time, but he didn't have much effect, and he came back. So I believe it was Krishna Das Babaji. He asked him, you know, you went to the West, and Swami Maharaj, that's how he referred to our Srila Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj went to the West. You taught the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he taught the philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You brought the Hare Krishna mantra, and he brought the Hare Krishna mantra. But he was successful, and you were not. What is the difference? And then Niskinchana Krishna Das Babaji Maharaj gave the answer that he had faith in the holy name. He had faith that if they just chanted Hare Krishna, everything else would follow. And it did. But what is the process? Lochandas, Srila Prabhupada continues to explain. The process is Vishaya Charya Seirase Majya. If one wants to be Krishna conscious by this process, one has to give up his engagement in sense gratification. That is the only restriction. That's all. Just give up. That's all. Just give up sense gratification. You know, you read that, that's the only restriction. Well, we're disqualified right there. If one gives up sense gratification, it is sure that he will reach the desired goal. Muke bolo hari hari. One simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, without any motive of sense gratification. So, as usual, Srila Prabhupada gives us hope. He's encouraging to us. He clarifies that one simply has to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, without any motive of sense gratification. In other words, we are inclined to sense gratification from many lifetimes. But if we come to Krishna consciousness and chant the holy name without any motive of sense gratification, if we chant the holy name to become free from material desires and attachments, then the holy name will act and we will become purified. And that is the hope that we all have, and not only the hope, but the experience. The tenth offense is not to have complete faith in the chanting of Hare Krishna and to maintain material attachments even after understanding so many instructions. So it's not an offense to come with material attachments. Everyone comes with material attachments, but it's an offense to maintain them. So if we have faith in the holy name, that the holy name will fulfill all of our desires, that we don't need material things to fulfill our desires, and in fact our desires can never be fulfilled by material things. If we have faith in the holy name and don't maintain our material attachments, we're ready to let them go in the course of purification, then we will get the result. We will become purified. Chaito Darpano Marjanam. The Sankirtan movement will cleanse the heart of all dirty things. And it's something that we all experience. Sometimes the difference might not be that dramatic, but if we consider where we are now, where we've come by chanting the holy names, and where we were before, we can see the difference. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that someone gets in an airplane and he'll be busy, you know, he may be reading something, talking to a friend, he's not paying much attention. And it seems that everything is going on the same as on the ground. Reading, talking to his friend, discussing, doesn't seem that much is happening. But when he looks out the window, he sees, whoa, you know, we're way up in the sky now. The ground is way down there. So it's like that. We do more or less the same things. I mean, we chant, we take prasad, we talk about Krishna. And the changes may not seem that dramatic at first. But if we consider where we are now and where we were before, what our engagement is now and what our engagement was before, there's a big difference. So we can actually experience that we're becoming purified. And as we stick to the process, we become more and more purified. And we get the result more and more. There's also a verse in the Padma Purana that says that even if one commits sins while chanting, that's not intentionally, but if one is just conditioned and commits offenses, by continuing to chant, one will become free from offenses. So the whole idea is just to stay with the process. Just stay with the process, we'll be free from sins, free from offenses. Dekore bhai tribhuvane nai. Lochan Das Thakur says, my dear brother, you just try to examine this. Within the three worlds, there is no one like Lord Chaitanya or Lord Nityananda. because their merciful qualities are so great that they make even birds and beasts cry, what to speak of human beings. Actually, when Lord Chaitanya passed through the forest known as Jharikhanda, the tigers, elephants, snakes, deer, and all other animals joined him in chanting Hare Krishna. It is so nice that anyone can join. Even the animals can join. What to speak of human beings? Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, we can at least encourage human beings to adopt this path of Hare Krishna mantra chanting. It is so nice that even the most stone-hearted men will be melted. Pashana means stone. It is so nice that even stone will melt. So, when Lord Chaitanya was passing through the Jharikhanda forest, he induced the wild animals to chant and dance. There was a tiger on the way. He touched the tiger with his lotus foot and requested it to chant and dance. And it got up and began to chant and dance. Then he went and took a bath in a lake. And in the lake, some elephants were bathing. So he splashed the elephants with water and requested them to chant and dance, and they began to chant and dance. And he was walking along, chanting, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, and he looked behind him, and he saw that not only were tigers and deers following him and chanting and dancing, but they were embracing each other and kissing. And he thought of a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 13th chapter, text 60. Yatra naisarga durvaira sahasan rimrik gadaya mitrani vajita vasa drutarut tarshadikam. Vrindavan is the transcendental abode of the Lord, where there is no hunger, anger, or thirst. Though naturally inimical, both human beings and animals live there together in transcendental friendship. So Lord Chaitanya thought of that verse, that it's like Vrindavan. All the wild animals and human beings are living in transcendental friendship. And of course the purport is that wherever he went, he created the Vrindavan atmosphere. And beyond that, wherever the Krishna consciousness movement spreads, it can create the Vrindavan atmosphere where there's no hunger or anger or thirst. Srila Prabhupada explains what defines Vrindavan. What defines Vrindavan is that in Vrindavan, everyone has love for Krishna and everyone acts for the pleasure of Krishna. In other words, Krishna is the center. And there's no sense gratification. There's only Krishna's service. So wherever that atmosphere exists, that is Vrindavan. And we can create that anywhere and everywhere. In the purport to this verse, in the 10th canto, Srila Prabhupada gave the example, because it says there's no hunger or thirst. So Srila Prabhupada gave the example that even though we don't work, we always have enough to eat, always have enough to drink. And in fact, we distribute prasad. And he said that material efforts to eradicate hunger and thirst don't work, because usually the food that's meant for the hungry doesn't reach them. But the politicians who get control of the food, they divide it among themselves and make money from it. Or the agencies that get the food, they use the food to make money for themselves. So the people don't actually get the benefit. But the Krishna consciousness movement actually provides food. And when they get prasadam from the devotees, they actually don't have hunger or thirst. But even more than that, we give them the holy name. We give them Krishna consciousness. And that can mean more to them than even the food. After the Bangladesh War in 1971, so many refugees from Bangladesh came into India. There are these huge refugee camps outside of Calcutta. It was really a terrible situation. They just hundreds and thousands of them crossed the border, and suddenly India had to like accommodate them, and it was hard to get food for them, food and water. And the devotees would go and distribute prasad. But when they went to distribute prasad, they would do Harinam Sankirtan. And the people were so enlivened by the Harinam Sankirtan that they missed the food that was being distributed at the camp by the authorities. And the authorities told the devotees that this never happens. You know, they're always just waiting for the little food they get to be distributed to them. This is the first time in the history of the camp that they haven't just been waiting to get their food. In other words, they were more eager to taste the nectar of the holy name than to eat ordinary food. And then we did distribute prasad as well. So we, as Prabhupada said, we are doing the best welfare work spiritually and materially. An example that when the devotees were building the Rath Yatra cart in Australia, so just it was sort of like in the city, they were working on the street, and the building just near to where they were working on the chariot caught fire. And there was a woman trapped in the flames on the top floor of the building. So the devotees took the canvas that was meant to form the dome above Lord Jagannath and held it under the window and told her to jump. And she jumped, and they caught her in the cloth, and she was saved. So the newspaper carried the report, you know, how the devotees had saved the life of the lady. And they especially noted that, like, the sacred cloth that was used for the Lord's chariot was used, and, you know. And so Prabhupada told his secretary, Shamsundar Prabhu, to send me the clipping and tell me to show it to all important men of Bombay and tell them that Krishna consciousness is rendering the best welfare work, materially and spiritually. So Srila Prabhupada is very proud that, we were distributing prasad and the holy name, and that we were actually able to create a situation where there's no hunger or thirst, and no enmity. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada said, although there are creatures in Vrindavan that appear to be envious, like the monkeys, but Krishna still fed them with his own hand, fed even the monkeys, and all the creatures lived in harmony. Whatever food there was, they would accept as Krishna's mercy, as prasad, and share it. So, in conclusion, I will read an entry from Srila Prabhupada's diary from February 3rd, 1966. Here Srila Prabhupada says, "Of course, it is not possible for ordinary men to induce animals to chant. But if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could inspire animals to chant, at least we can encourage human beings." So here's what Srila Prabhupada wrote in his diary. "Today there was a very nice demonstration of tape-recorded Sankirtan by me. It is all the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Haridas Thakur said that the transcendental sound of Harinam would purify the hearts of birds and beasts. Today, this statement of Haridas Thakur is corroborated." "These Americans cannot understand even one word's meaning of the Sankirtan. And yet, they were so much attracted. It is all Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's power. There is no credit for me." So this is Srila Prabhupada's humility, is giving all the credit to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And certainly, all credit should be given to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But he's hinting here that these Americans are like the birds and beasts whom Haridas Thakur said could be purified by chanting the holy name. And the Bhagavatam also confirms that anyone who identifies with the body, kuta petri datuki, is like an animal, an ass, a cow. And there are other verses that those who do not hear the glorification of the Lord are like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses. They're like animals. But by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, the wild animals in the Jharkhanda forest chanted and danced. Not only did they chant and dance, but they embraced each other, kissed each other. And in the same way, the servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, specifically the servants of the servants of Srila Prabhupada, and others in disciplic succession, they can also induce the animal-like human beings, Dvipada Pasus, to chant and dance. And when they do, they will develop love for Krishna. Krishna Prema Pradayate, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give Krishna Prema, but the way he did it was by giving them the holy names. And if people just accept the gift of the holy name and chant with firm faith, the example of firm faith is Haridas Thakur. Haridas Thakur was born in a Muslim family, but he was perceived by the Muslims who ruled India at the time that he had become a Hindu. They didn't like it. Even now, Muslims don't like it. And so it's a whole story, but they called him, the Qazi called him and informed him, not informed him, but appealed to him that you were born in a good Muslim family. You should read the Quran. You should chant the name of Allah. You should not chant the name of Krishna. And Haridas Thakur said, so many Hindus have become Muslims. What is the problem if one Muslim becomes a Hindu? And the Qazi was not happy with this answer. And, you know, he threatened more and more and finally came to the point where, you know, if you don't give up Harinam, you know, we're going to beat you to death. You know, the sentence was to be beaten in 22 marketplaces, but the reality was that anyone who was beaten in 3 or 4 would die. And Haridas Thakur replied, you can cut my body into millions of pieces, but I will never stop chanting Harinam. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that this is the example that every devotee should keep in his mind of faith and determination, that no matter what, we will not give up. As Srila Prabhupada says, my dear brother, I request that you just worship Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda with firm conviction and faith. Do not think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired goal. It will. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw what they were going to do to Haridas Thakur, he came. Actually, Haridas Thakur was much senior in age to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hadn't even appeared then, but he was there, of course. He's always there. And he told Haridas Thakur later, during the Mahaprakash, that he was ready to come with his Sudarshan Chakra and kill these offenders. But because Haridas Thakur desired their welfare, he didn't. And so he stayed on Haridas Thakur's back, and he accepted the lashings in his place. Haridas Thakur was so merciful. When he heard his punishers, the constables of the Qazi, because the Qazi kept asking for the reports, has he died yet? No, he hasn't died. And he would send messages, you know, beat harder, beat them harder. You know, you have too much sympathy for him. You're not beating him hard enough. They'd beat harder and harder. Haridas would just keep chanting the holy names. And then finally, he said, he sent the message, you know, if Haridas Thakur does not die, you all are going to die. And then they were talking, you know, they did whatever they could. He wasn't dying. And they were talking among themselves, you know, what's going to happen to our families, you know, if we die. So Haridas Thakur overheard them talking. He said, is there some difficulty? So they said, well, the Qazi said, if you don't die, we die. So Haridas Thakur said, so you want me to die? Okay. So he went into a trance. He went into a trance and he appeared to be dead. So they were all very relieved. Oh, he's finally died. So then they sent the message to the Qazi that he's dead. So what should we do with him? Should we bury him like a Muslim or burn him like a Hindu? And the Qazi sent back the message. He's not a Hindu. Don't burn him. And he's not a Muslim. Don't bury him. Just throw him in the river. So they threw the body in the river. And after some time, Haridas Thakur came out of his trance. He got out of the river and began walking and chanting like before. So you can imagine the effect that that had on everyone. Yeah, they thought he was died, now he's come back to life again. So his pop, that was the whole thing. The Muslims were envious. The leaders were envious of his popularity. Now he became even more popular. And people were flocking to him, and he was inducing them to chant the holy names. And then the news went to the Qazi. And then the Qazi actually had a change of heart. He realized that Haridas Thakur was a great soul and that he had committed a great offense. And he came to Haridas Thakur and, you know, begged for forgiveness for his offenses and promised him that as long as he stayed in his kingdom, he would give him full protection. And wherever he wanted to do his bhajan, the Qazi would give him a place, whatever place he wanted, whatever facility, just to stay and chant Hare Krishna. So, Sudrida Biswasa Kori. So they have faith. Faith that the process will work and thus we should continue with the process no matter what happens. Think of the example of Haridas Thakur. So this is all the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it's come to us through Srila Prabhupada, through the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. And now we, as their faithful servants, should pass on this mercy to whomever we meet. Yari deke tarikaha Krishna upadesh amara gyai guru hantare desh. This was also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, that wherever we go, whomever we meet, we should repeat the message of Krishna. And in this way, we should become gurus and deliver everyone in our land. So we've received so much mercy. The mercy is expanding. We should share it. And the more we distribute it, the more we get. So everyone benefits. It's inconceivable. Hare Krishna. Yes, Nityananda Prabhu.
We may not have that level of faith that Haridas Thakur had, obviously. That's very powerful faith. But whatever little faith we have, if we, like you say, stick it out and hang in there and we do it, it seems like from the amount of mercy that Lord Chaitanya gives to us, for accepting his instruction and carrying out that instruction, he still gives the same result. Is that true?
Would you repeat your question, Ajahn?
Yeah. Nityananda Prabhu says that obviously we don't have the same amount of faith as Haridas Thakur, but if we just stick it out, if we just continue the process, we'll get the same result. Is that true? In a way it is true. In a way it is true. Because there's a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, Tate Nukampam Susumikshamana, that if one tolerates the miseries of material existence, taking them as reactions to one's past misdeeds, and continues serving the Lord with body, mind, and words, that person the exact word in Sanskrit is mukti sadaya bhak, that he becomes eligible to inherit the kingdom of God. And the acharyas explain that idea, that just as a son need do nothing but stay alive long enough, and he will inherit the property of the father. Similarly, all a devotee need do is stay alive in Krishna consciousness until the end of his life, and at the time of death, he will be eligible to enter the kingdom of God. He'll go back home, back to Godhead. And what does it mean to stay alive in Krishna consciousness? It means to continue the process, to chant the holy name and hear the Vedic scriptures and the association of devotees. Follow the regulated principles. Just stay alive. And if we just stay alive in Krishna consciousness until, you know, long enough, until we leave the body, then when we leave the body, we'll be eligible to enter the abode of the Lord. Yeah, it's amazing. All right, thank you very much. We meet again
this evening,
in the evening
at
6:30. Okay. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Lochandas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktavrinda ki jai. Jagannath Mishra's Maha Mahotsav ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Jai.
Jai. Jai. Jai.